second part of Becoming an Eagle Christian. This is a series that I'm going to be sharing with you over the next several weeks. And I started it last week talking about what the eagle is and just a bit of an introduction of why the eagle has been something that the Bible talks often about. Over 25 times the Bible talks about the eagle, the bird. Only one is the dove that's talked about more. Now, the eagle is not the first bird mentioned in the Bible. Little trivia quiz. You ready? What's the first bird that's mentioned in the Bible by name? What was it? Sparrow? Thank you for playing. We have lovely parting gifts for you. No. Thank you, though. Who was it? All the way first part of Genesis. Noah? No, not the dove. The raven. The raven is the first bird. Remember? He takes the raven, throws it out, flaps around, looks for a place to land, can't find it, comes back, and the dove gets all the good press. I mean, the dove becomes the whole symbol of peace because it comes back with the olive branch clutched in its teeth. And the poor raven's going, hey, I was the first one out the door here. I was the one that chanced everything. He doesn't get anything. He gets Edgar Allan Poe. That's not exactly a fair trade, I think. But the eagle is this magnificent creature that God created that we have been called to be like in the scripture, to be like an eagle. Well, unless you understand what an eagle is, unless you know the importance of this, how do you be like that? How do you be like an eagle? And so throughout all of our culture, there is no animal that I think has probably so deeply penetrated the culture like the eagle has. And like I said, when we're done with this, when Jeopardy comes up, anything about eagles, you've got the answer. So you may want to check that, go, make a little bit of money, help the church, never mind. We shouldn't probably talk about all of that. But there are thousands of companies, there are schools, there are organizations that all use the eagle as their logo. As a matter of fact, I want you, when you leave today, over this next week until next Sunday, see how many times you see an eagle someplace. Now, I'm not talking about the real bird. Now, we have eagles in Pennsylvania. My wife took a picture of an eagle once. So she thought. It wasn't an actual eagle. What happened was this. This is actually kind of funny. I'll stand over here because this has nothing to do with the sermon. And I say this with all love. Because I was kind of taken in too a little bit. She shows me. She goes, look. She says, there's an eagle in the tree next to our house. I looked at the picture. I said, seriously? We have a bald eagle in Mechanicsburg next to our house. So she said, it's right, it's up in that tree, right there. So I come out, and I look, and there's a white giant plastic bag that had flown up somehow into the top of this tree and came to rest on top of a squirrel's nest. So you got this big brown thing sitting there where the squirrel lives and a white bag sitting on top of it. It's a bald eagle. It's not a bald eagle. But I loved her enthusiasm. I thought that was wonderful. We do. We have picture proof of it. We have a really strange house. We're just... but there are eagles in Pennsylvania. But the eagle has imprinted itself into our everyday lives. Let me just show you some of that. Paul, shoot up my first picture. American Airlines uses the eagle. Now, that's their old logo. This is their new one. They didn't change it. American Eagle is their jet company that they have. What's the next one here? American Eagle Outfitters. I just saw somebody walking through the lobby with one of those on. There's the eagle right there. Colleges. Boston College is the Eagles. You recognize that. What else? Boy Scouts of America. How many Boy Scouts did we have in here? Any Boy Scouts? Come on. I was the only one. You're kidding. I was the only Boy Scout. Thank you. Don't be embarrassed. We were Boy Scouts. Wait, which hand? This hand. This hand, Boy Scouts of America. Obviously, the eagle. The highest award that you can receive in the Boy Scouts is the Eagle Award. Not easy to get with all of the different merit badges you have to get. You become star and then life, I think, or maybe life and then star and then eagle is how high you have to go with those. But the eagle, obviously, is an important part of that. The NSA, the National Security Agency of our government, uses the eagle as a part of their logo. Radio stations, the eagle, that's certainly, you know, all kinds of different call letters, and so you can see the bird there with the wings out, okay? Our postal service, obviously, I don't think the mail comes as fast as an eagle, although I think that was probably their intention originally, but there's the logo. Of course, the President of the United States, that's the great seal of the United States, and there's the eagle in the middle of that. And then, of course, Christy, I just. Christy's a Giants fan. And so we're going to be joining each other, you know, beating each other up on the field later on today. So there might be 150 points scored in this game coming up here. So you notice that's the only standing ovation I get in churches when I do the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm torn between being upset and being really excited about that. So I was born in Philly. So, but anyway, over this next week, see how many Eagles you actually see in culture, whether it's on the side of a truck or a billboard or just any mention of Eagle, and catch how that's brought itself into our culture. But our history is filled with the Eagle and how the Eagle's been used in the early church in the scripture. And we're going to get to that in just a minute here. Don't think you're coming to church and we're not going to use the Bible. We're going to use the Bible here in just a minute. But the early church was filled with images of the eagle. One of the tribes of Israel, on their banner, because all the 12 tribes of Israel had banners that they had up, and they all had different symbols on them representing who they were. One of those 12 tribes used the eagle, the tribe of Dan, as a part of their banner. When you read through, the prophet Hosea is doing, he's doing prophetic words, and in the 8th chapter, the first verse, he talks about the circling eagle as a symbol of God's judgment that's going to be coming on the people. Remember the name Aquila? Have you recognized that name? Aquila and Priscilla in the New Testament. They were some of the very first evangelists that went around preaching. Pastor Paul. The Apostle Paul. We're very close. I call him Pastor. Paul writes about Aquila and Priscilla. 7 times they're in the Bible. The word Aquila is Latin for eagle. That's what that word actually means. And so you see that poured right in. And eagles actually move to the place of deity in a lot of cultures. They have found Egyptian mummified eagles from 5,000 years ago that they would take the bird and they would mummify it and they would put it in with the person that they were burying in the belief that this eagle would assist them, that the powers of that eagle would be transferred into this person, into their afterlife. This was their belief. The Sumerians believed that the eagle, not the stork, brought their babies. Actually, I kind of like that more. I kind of like the idea of an eagle bringing the baby. I think that makes a lot more sense. We moved it to the stork, but the Sumerians actually thought that eagles brought their babies to them. Persians were some of the very first. Again, we're talking ancient culture, that they would put the eagle on their battle flags when they were about to march into battle because of the appearance of the bird and the fierceness of it, using that as a way to intimidate the people that they were going to be fighting. The Greeks used to bury eagle wings in their fields for their crops because they believed if they did that, it would protect the field from lightning strikes that were coming down. You say, Pastor Dave, where did they get that? I have no idea, but this is what they did, and they believed it with everything that they had. The earliest Greek coins, the Greeks were some of the very first to create monetary pieces to use in exchange for goods. Remember, we talked about this, I don't know, a couple of months ago, that originally you would barter with somebody in order to get something from them, and then somebody came up with the idea of money. Well, the Greeks were some of the first to do that, and on some of their very first coins, the eagle was imprinted on there. They actually believed, too, that the bird might even be immortal, might live forever, because the eagle actually does renew itself. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks, because it is such a beautiful picture of the life of a Christian being renewed by a relationship with Jesus Christ. But the eagle actually renews itself, plucks out all its own feathers and waits for them to grow in again, so it's brand new. It's amazing. The Romans. How many of you know the name Charlemagne? You know the name Charlemagne? One of the kings back in that time, around 400, 500 AD. He ruled over most of what became Europe and through that area, through all of his campaigns. He used an eagle as the symbol of his army. When emperors died in Rome, they would release an eagle to fly off, believing that the spirit of that person was being carried off by the eagle. Caesar sat on a throne, looked like an eagle with the wings outstretched. That's what he used to sit and to rule on. You getting an idea how important the eagle is through culture and through what it's meant? Native Americans, even in this country, the eagle dance is still something that they do. Now, they put the eagle in a place that it did not belong because they actually used to worship what they called the thunderbird, which was a form of an eagle. They used to worship it and say this thing has great power, great authority. They would take the feathers, and any feathers that they would find, they would give them to the braves to denote rank and authority. You actually had to be you actually had to perform a brave act in order to be given an eagle feather in the tribes, because when you had them, it meant you were somebody special. It meant you were somebody that had great integrity and great honor. The chiefs of the tribes, their headdresses would be comprised primarily of eagle feathers. It's what made them the chief. They even would take the beak and the talons when they would find the bird dead. They would take the beak and the talons, they would boil that in a liquid, and then before they'd go into battle, they would smear it all over themselves, believing that the eyesight would be increased because they knew that the eagle had this tremendous vision. It would give them stamina and give them strength. That's what they believed. Napoleon, his personal flag was the black eagle. Napoleon ruled most of that whole area during that time. His palace and his throne were filled with the images of eagles. He even had a little boy, and he named him L'Aiglon, which means little eagle. That's what he called his son. In Great Britain today, royalty, when they are enthroned, when they're put into power, the coronation, they're anointed with oil. And that oil is poured out of a flask in the shape of an eagle. They've been doing that since the 1400s. They still do it today. And of course, this country, we are filled with images of the eagle, not just the ones I've given you. And that's just only just a small portion. There are hundreds. I stopped counting, I think, at 30, just the Division I universities and colleges that use the eagle, not to mention all the others. So we have this fascination with this bird, rightly so. But there are no less than 25 other countries that also use the eagle as a part of their emblem. You think of Mexico, the Mexican flag. You picture it, you can see that little eagle sitting right in the middle of their flag. And there are many countries that have that. On June the 20th, 1782, the bald eagle was pronounced and made to be the emblem as a part of the United States seal, 1782. Now, the whole process started 6 years ago when this Continental Congress, the second one, voted to ratify the Constitution, and we were going to become an independent nation away from Great Britain. And they all just sat around and they said, you know what, fellas, we probably ought to have a banner or a flag or a seal or something like that. Let's get some guys to try to decide what that should be. So they got these three nobodies that they could find, guys by the name of Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson. Talk about a couple heavyweights in your board of directors. These three guys got together and said, fellas, we need to come up with what this symbol's going to be known by. What are we going to get that's going to make people know it's us? Now, like most politicians, I have nothing against politicians, but as by what we're seeing here today in our culture, we can probably figure this out. They couldn't come to an agreement. As a matter of fact, the only thing they could agree on, you know, they have the E Pluribus Unum that's on the seal. That's the only decision they could come to. Okay, let's have this. Everything else they couldn't decide on. And so as the years went by, they began to determine what it was going to look like. And they said, you know what? Let's use the eagle. It's a majestic bird. It's powerful. It's beautiful. I mean, look at that. It's just so impressive. And they thought, it's native to our country. Well, no, it's not. As we said, there are 60 varieties of eagles living throughout the world. But they said, let's use this. Now, Franklin was completely against it. Didn't want anything to do with the eagle. He said, it's a scavenger. It's afraid. Little birds can come down and push him away from where he wants to be. He wasn't completely accurate, but you know what bird Franklin wanted to use for our state or for our national bird? Do you know which one? The turkey. He wanted to use the turkey. It's a very noble bird. Gives us sustenance. We can eat this. You can't eat eagles. No, I've not tried. I don't want you to think I'd do everything here to see if I... But you can eat a turkey, and that's what Franklin said. That's the bird we need to have. So they go through all of this process, and they finally come up with this magnificent bird as the symbol of this country. The eagle was also prominent in the Civil War. Now, we live, obviously, here near Gettysburg. The Union Army used the eagle as a part of their logo. And they actually had a mascot, an actual eagle, that they would take in with them from time to time. They called him Old Abe. I don't know if Lincoln would have been excited about that or not. I don't know if I want to have a bird named after me or not. But they would take this bird into battle, and the Confederate Army tried for years, for all 4 years that the war went on, to try to capture this bird, to demoralize them. They could never get it. This bird went into 17 battles, came out alive. They actually gave it an honorable discharge at the end of the Civil War. Deep into our culture. Stamps, coins, dollars, bills all have the eagle as a part of that. The emblem of the Marine Corps, the Navy, the Air Force, the Congressional Medal of Honor, the highest award given to a civilian, all have the eagle as an important part of their logo. And of course, on July 20th, 1969, a little after 4 o'clock, the first words ever spoken from a heavenly body other than Earth, Neil Armstrong said, "Houston, Tranquility Base here, the Eagle has landed." You say, "Well, Pastor Dave, why in the world are you going through all of this? This is church, isn't it? I didn't come to a history lesson, did I?" No, it's not a history lesson. But here's the thing I want us to understand about all of this before I share the word of God about the eagle. Is that when God declares something is good, when he declares that it's important, it does not matter whether or not the culture or whoever it is believes in God. It doesn't even matter if they don't worship the true God. His word is still true. And so these cultures embracing the eagle that God created, the eagle that God declared, "This is who I want my people to be," that we read in Isaiah 40:31, it says, "Those that wait upon the Lord shall" what? "Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not grow faint." That's the authority and the power that God wants each of us to walk in, and he uses this bird as an example for us to be able to see. See, God's world is filled with examples, filled with symbols that we can look at to be encouraged every single day, that regardless of what it is we're going through, God wants us to be like the eagle, filled with integrity, filled with the strength and the power that no matter what it is that's going on around, I never lose what it is that God's called me to be. The eagle doesn't change who it is where it's living. It doesn't change what it is or who it is, regardless of the circumstances, the weather, looking for food, all of those things. The eagle maintains all of those qualities that it is. That's what God wants for us as his children, is to maintain those qualities that even in the most difficult times, I don't lose heart. Even in the most difficult times, I still hold to him. There's still joy in my life. Now, does that mean I walk around with a goofy grin on my face all the time? No, it doesn't. I didn't say happy. And I've already told you this so many times, the difference between happy and joy. Happiness has to do with the things going on around me. Happy, happenings, the happenings of my life affect my happiness. Joy comes from in here. The joy that I have in my life is because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And what happens when you have his joy in your life? What do you get in return? Strength. The joy of my Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's where I get strength. And so we look at this and to understand that all throughout history, without them even knowing it, these cultures, these people, these organizations, these groups are all embracing this majestic animal that God gave us as Christians to be able to say, that's something that I want to point my life towards. The attributes of that bird that God put into him is the same that he puts into me. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation 4. Revelation 4, last book of the Bible, all the way at the end. Bring your Bible when you come. If you don't have one, tell me. I will get you one for nothing. Nothing. You don't have to pay anything. I'll give you for free. Give you a Bible. But bring a Bible with you when you come. Revelation 4, I just want to look at this in closing. Because the Bible does talk about an eagle, and this is one place where it's sometimes a little hard to understand, and yet God knows exactly what it is that he's doing, and he uses the eagle along with these other animals to be able to understand how it is we're supposed to live our life. Revelation 4, are you there? Did you go to the end? That's where you should be. Seventh verse. This is John. He's having a vision of heaven, the Apostle John, and he says this. Talks about the living creature. Actually, let me back up and start in midway through 6. It says, in the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Now, that's not an easy picture to put into your mind, because if you just listen to what it is that John wrote, he's talking about this creature that has four faces. It also is covered with eyes. And the place that you see this also is in the book of Ezekiel, in the first and the tenth chapters. You read about the same thing. And most scholars believe that anytime you see the Bible talking about this, and these are the two primary places, it's talking about the cherubim. The cherubim are the angelic beings that are flying in and out of the very presence of God when you read this in the scripture. But John goes beyond that then, and he talks about the very creature that he's looking at with the four faces. These four faces represent a number of different things. And I've read a number of different explanations about this, and I'll share the one with you that I think is, to me, resonates in my heart the best. There have been those that have said that these four faces represent the four companies of Israel. I say, well, Pastor Dave, what in the world does that mean? Well, if you look in the book of Numbers, the second chapter, God places the 12 tribes of Israel in the desert around the tabernacle, and he broke them up into four sections of three tribes each. Three times four, is that 12? Okay, four times three. So the four groups, and they're sitting east, west, north, and south. And there are a number of scholars that believe that this is what this is referring to, that the face of the lion is the tribe of Judah, which sat on the east side of the camp. That the ox was the tribe of Ephraim, which sat on the west side. The man was Reuben, which sat on the south side. And then Dan, you remember in the beginning I told you the flag of Dan had the eagle on it? That was also that same tribe, that same group that sat to the north. You say, well, Pastor Dave, why is that important? It's important because God never does anything by accident. There's always purpose and reason to whatever it is that God's going to do. And that was not only true for these 12 tribes and for everybody else. It's true for every one of our lives here this morning. Everything that you deal with in your life, God allows that to happen for a purpose. Let me just let you sit that just for a second. Because I don't know about you, but there have been some times in my life when I have thought, this is worthless to me. This has less than no meaning. This is the worst thing that could possibly happen to me. I've thought that about some things in my life. And yet, as time went on, and I was able to, in some measure of understanding, look back and go, you know what? I can see now that God was teaching me something back then. God was showing me something. Maybe he was revealing something about myself. Maybe he was wanting me to grow and to learn how to hold on to him tighter in a time when it just doesn't feel like I've got anything else to hold on to, but I'm going to hold to him in the midst of the storm. And so for each and every one of you here this morning, regardless of what it is that you're walking through, can you begin to embrace it into your heart that God has purpose in everything of my life? That there's purpose if we look to him. If we look to him. So I say that as a word of encouragement to you this morning. Another thing that scholars have said that they believe that this might be referring to is it's a representation of Jesus seen in the four Gospels. The book of Matthew is about Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's that lion. And I've got scriptures for all of these. They'll be online. You can look those up. The Gospel of Mark is that ox, because Mark focuses so much on the servanthood of Jesus, how Jesus came to serve people. Luke talks about the man, about Jesus, the perfect man. And then John, the eagle, Jesus, the man that came from heaven, from the sky. All of those things that just fit so perfectly and so beautifully together in God's scripture. But then there's one more, and with this I'm done. Is that there are a number of people that believe that this scripture refers to the representation of all of God's creation. All of God's creation. The lion, the greatest of all of the wild beasts. The ox, the greatest of all of the domesticated animals. The eagle, the king of the sky. And then finally, man, each of us, God's greatest creation. And the thing that's important to understand about that as you read through this is that all of those things sit under the throne of God, under his throne. And what I take from this is to be able to say, God, it does not matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter that our government has been shut down for a week now. Don't know when it's going to get started up again. Should that worry us? Should we be concerned? Yeah, we need to keep an eye on those things, but should we have fear? of that. No, no fear, because everything is under God's throne. We see shootings taking place across our country and around the world, people being killed. Should we have fear of those things? No, because God sits on the throne. Financial issues in each of our lives that we're dealing with, and some of you may be struggling right now with some things, or you've got some real challenges ahead of you. Should we allow fear to come in as a part of our lives with that? No, because everything sits under God's throne. The eagle has all of those aspects that so much of what the Bible talks about with us. To have integrity, to be strong, to be fearless, to be able to renew ourselves. I'm going to talk with you soon about the eagle love story. You know, the eagle has a beautiful love story. It's very sweet. It's going to be our chick flick Sunday. Can I say that in church? Is that all right? Okay. It's our chick flick Sunday. So much of that, though, is what God wants for our lives. But it is only in the place where we are willing to relinquish who we are to Him that we can receive all of it that He wants in us. And again, you hear me say this so often. It's only because every single day we are in a battle. We have to battle with things every day. Battles of the mind, battles of the body, battles of the spirit. All of those things. The Bible tells us that the enemy is going to continue to come at us, continue to try to take us from where we need to be, continue to bring discouragement in our lives. And what we come to do is declare that by the power of God in His Word, that we can be overcomers because of Him. We can be overcomers. We can rise up in those times. We can soar on the wings of eagles. We can run and not grow weary. We can walk and not faint. That's my prayer for us, church. And so this week, as you go, you're looking for those eagle symbols. Oh, there's one. Hey, Pastor Dave, look, there's a symbol eagle right there. You can watch the game later on today. That's my last Philadelphia Eagles plug. That's my last one. But more than that, when you're faced with something this week, ask God to pour into you what it is that you need to be an overcomer, to be victorious through Him. Because that is how He wants us to live. He wants us not to just eke by, but to see His glory over and over. Healing for our bodies, healing for relationships, healing for our minds, healing for our finances. God wants to pour all of that into us if we're willing to receive that to His glory. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You, God, for Your Word. Thank You, God, that we can come and we can look at this maybe in a little bit of a different way, but Lord, certainly no less important because it's what You have laid out for us. You've told us that we can soar on the wings like eagles. You show us, God, in this book of Revelation that in everything, all of Your creation, we are all under Your authority because You sit on the throne. And I pray now this morning that as my dear brothers and sisters leave this place today, that they would go filled with a renewed confidence of who You have called and created us to be. That when the difficult times come, we're not going to shrink back. We're going to stand firm because we have You there with us. We're going to do things correctly. We're going to do things with integrity and honesty. We're going to do things in order to glorify You because that is who You have called and created each of us to be. Father, I pray protect us as we go. Watch over us. Bless our families. Lord, we look forward to what it is that You have in store because, God, it's just good to be a part of Your family. Bless You, Lord. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray these things. Amen and amen.